Welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa. I'm your host. And in today's episode, I'm speaking with golf fitness trainer Christy Link. Christy and I spoke about how golfers can benefit from weightlifting and weightlifters from golf, best lifts and movement patterns for golfers, and injury-prone areas. If you like the show, please subscribe and give us a rating or share the episode with someone who might find it helpful. Thank you so much. And as always, if you want help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we are your go-to coaches. Just hit the contact link in the show notes. Now, on to my conversation with Christy. Christy Link, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm really, really excited for this topic because, as I was saying before we started recording, this is the first time we're talking about one particular sport. We're talking about golf and, of course, all the things how we can improve our golf game, how maybe just regular weightlifters can also benefit from golf, etc. But before we dig into that, I would love to hear from you what you are excited for the listener to take away from this conversation.
I'm really excited to talk a little bit more about why I love explaining why golf needs strength and mobility. It's a sport that most people don't associate with lifting weights or really any sort of fitness. It's considered a leisurely sport, but a lot of people don't really understand the demands that it has on the body and the golf swing itself. So it's really interesting for me to kind of enlighten people as to why we really need to train our bodies just like any other athlete, recreational athlete. We're not talking about professional athletes here, but any amateur or recreational athlete needs to train the same way that golfers do. So.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah, I love that topic. It seems a very important topic as well. And I'm interested in how you got to what you're doing, where you are today and everything. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So it's been I guess a long road to where I am today. So I was a strength been a strength coach. Well, actually, first, I guess it's about 16 years ago, I first started teaching yoga. It was my first experience and learning group exercise and how the body moves and my first certification. And then I got into CrossFit and when CrossFit because kind of like first came about and it was huge. So I ended up opening up a gym, and I owned a gym for 14 years, and I recently sold it last year. And in the last couple of years of ownership, I guess backtrack a little bit. I got into golf later. So my husband got me into golf. So sometime a couple of years after the gym, I met my now husband who got me into golf. So I learned as an adult, which is so much harder than learning as a kid. Any sport to learn, yeah, golf is tough. So if you're learning, just keep at it. I promise it'll get better. So the past couple of years of still owning the gym, I started working more with some golfers that I met just from playing who just expressed an interest in fitness. And then once I realized I might possibly be selling the gym, I thought that it was something I should really just focus on after the sale goes through. So I got a couple certifications, specifically in golf fitness. And it's been a year since I sold the gym, and I've been just a year really focusing just on golfers and learning more about that and researching more and working with more golfers, seeing what they need. So now I just I work I based out of I'm in Northern New Jersey, so I see some people in person, and I also train people remotely through an app, and I have some people on Zoom. So it's been a nice change of pace, and I'm really cool to just dial in on a certain athlete. And being a golfer myself, I understand, where they're coming from. So you kind of want to have that connection to know what they're doing and how they're feeling on the course. So it became my second passion once I started playing. And after the sale of the gym, it kind of just made sense to find a way to combine them both.
Amazing. I love it. And I think there's such beauty in sort of pivoting and shifting and just letting life take you into the different areas instead of like
And it
just honing in
wasn't,
on one thing.
I wasn't, I think someone, I want to say it wasn't not my idea, but someone had just said, "Why don't you work golfers?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, why don't I?" So you're exactly right. It just kind of like shifted, and someone said it, and I'm like, "That's my next path. Like that's where we're gonna go." So yeah,
Absolutely. I think the
it was
most
nice.
beautiful things come about in that way, actually.
Let things happen.
And I mean, I mentioned to you before we recorded also that most of the listeners are probably not golfers. So I would actually like to start the other way around, like instead of starting with why golf needs strength training, how can anybody benefit from golf? Like, for example, with your own transition into golf, what have you noticed has improved or, like areas of your body you might not have used before in that way?
Absolutely. And whenever I start talking to golfers before I start training them, I say this is like twofold. Like, yes, this is for your golf game, but this is for life, right? This is not just We got like a lot of people, it motivates them to get better at golf, so that's the motivation to work out, which is great. But I mean, mobility, strength, working out, fitness, it's helps everything, right? Male, female, it doesn't matter how old you are, it's never too late to start. Especially females, I'll say it's even more important because, as you probably know, we are high at risk for osteoporosis as we age, and we tend to lose muscle mass faster than guys or men. And we really just need that resistance training, that strength training to keep the muscle mass on and to prevent osteoporosis, and really just to stay independent, as we age. Like, we want to be able to do things on our own. We want to be able to, whatever our activities we like, we want to be able to do that. So it's like a gold mine, right? If you can just realize how important it is, and find some time, everybody's so busy. So like, find whatever works for you. I'm not like this one fitness is better than the other. If this works for you, great. If this works for you, great. Just find a way to stay active. But most importantly, find a way to lift some weights, because that is what's going to keep us young and just keep us independent in the long haul.
Amazing. Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And so for the people that are already strength training but are, like maybe they have been invited to play golf at some point or so, what would be a reason for them to start playing golf? Like, how can the sport of golf benefit anybody also in that way around?
I guess a couple ways to answer that. Like, it's supposed to be relaxing, yes, but at the same time can be frustrating. I think it's just a great activity. It's a lifelong activity. A lot of competitive athletes, once they're kind of out of their competitive years, because being really competitive does take a toll on the body, whatever sport you're in. If you're really at a higher level, not necessarily professionally, even just more competitive amateur, a lot of them realize that the body just more physical sports, like even basketball, baseball, or weightlifting, like really heavy weightlifting, sometimes it just starts to take a toll. So this is like a nice way to still kind of stay competitive if you like to compete. That's definitely a little less toll on the body, little less impact, although it does, still require a level of strength and flexibility. So it's a nice way to transition to something that's competitive. And if you're not competitive, it's a fun hobby. You can literally, there's courses everywhere. You can travel the world and play. You can see so many new places, meet people, be outside. So it's just a nice hobby that you can do for the rest of your life. And you can play with all ages. There's a handicap system, so you can play with someone who's a lot better than you. You can play with someone a lot worse than you. And there's a way to like make it fair, with a points stroke system. So it's just really fun. And it's a game that you never win, right? You just always try to get better. So it keeps you coming back for more.
Awesome. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And I don't have a ton of golfing experience. Maybe about 3 years ago, I took some classes just out of curiosity, like every now and then, every year or two, I set myself the goal to try a new sport. And in that year, it was golf. And what I have found, and like, again, I didn't get very far along, but number one, also the coordination aspect. And like, aim, it is a very skill based sport, which
Yes,
is
very
so
high
beautiful.
skill.
And with that, it seems like you can keep improving or playing until, very old age, until work, basically for as long as you walk. And I'm a huge fan of walking in general, being outside. You're on the fresh in the fresh air, and it is somewhat social. Yeah, of course, if you get competitive, there's probably not a lot of talking involved. But I mean, generally speaking, for most people who learn, it is something that you can do on the weekend over several hours, and instead of like sitting in a bar or in a clubhouse, it's something active, and afterwards you can still go and get a spa treatment or whatever you like. One other thing, or I'm sure there's several other things, but one other thing that stood out to me was that it's such a rotational movement. And of course, you could probably say the same thing about, baseball, softball, that kind of thing. But I think in general, in most sports, rotational movements of the spine of the whole body are the minority, or are very few. And I do believe that we can greatly benefit from rotating our spine more, and also
100%.
learning that not just that power transfer from, let's just say, from your, like, for those of you that are not watching, but I'm trying to like twist my body a little bit, but like basically, initiating the power from the feet all the way into the fingertips, basically, and like
Exactly.
having that
Yeah, you
proper
got it. You're a
strength.
golfer, got it.
Not quite yet. But yeah, I mean, tell us a little bit maybe about rotational movements and how golfers can strengthen that rotation or that kinetic chain, so to
Yep.
speak, with strength training.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so obviously when you look at the golf swing, all it is rotation, not all it is, but it's rotation, and it's the same rotation. So it's really the only sport where you're doing the same movement pattern over and over and over again. You're walking, but as you're swinging, we never swing lefty or swing righty. So high rotational demands and rotational training of that movement pattern is kind of also a forgotten pattern. So in a lot of your traditional strength training programs, there isn't really rotation. There's becoming more now, because there's other, obviously there's sports like baseball, and even basketball. There is some like not as obvious rotation, but there is a lot of side to side movement. But as humans, we twist a lot. Like you were just, twisting in your chair. Like it's not a swing, but there is, we move side to side. Like we reach down and we grab something to our left, or we reach behind our car seat. So it's a neglected movement pattern in like a lot of fitness and strength training programs. So I think any program, even if you're just training for life to be fit, needs to include rotation. But then it's something we focus on more in golf. So we focus on rotation, as in, twisting under load, or things we refer to as anti-rotation, where we're trying to resist something that's rotating us. For example, like holding a kettlebell in one arm, standing up of a suitcase carry where the kettlebell wants to pull us down. We're going to resist that and stand up. So two ways to kind of train that. And we want to focus on it from a strength perspective and a mobility perspective. So we want to be able to physically be able to rotate and then have the strength there too. Because a lot of golfers, mobility, and as we age, we get tighter. So rotation, the range of motion becomes an issue. So we do want to work on mobilizing and beat flexibility in that range of motion. But as far as the kinetic chain goes, and that's exactly what we refer to it as, right? Starts from the ground up, ends in your hands. Training the body. The first thing I notice a lot about my golfers who haven't worked out and start working out with me is they just have like a better kinesthetic awareness, so more awareness of their body and space, and then just that alone starts to help them with their golf swing, because they're feeling where their hips are more, they're feeling what their shoulders are doing, or they're aware of what their feet are doing when their hands are doing this. So I think the biggest thing is it just creates an awareness, a better awareness of their body. And then we train for power, so we train leg strength, we train power, and we train the body as a whole. And it's not too, golf fitness is not just all turning and rotation and little like speed drills. It is a lot of your basic movement patterns, your squat, it is your squat, your hinge, your push, your pull. So we're training the body as a whole, and with that, it'll move better as a piece. And we'll as we get stronger, we're able to generate more power. Just like you said, if we generate more power from the ground, it translates to more power in our hands, which translates to a farther shot. Granted, all the mechanics of the swing have to kind of be aligned to, there's the skill of it also. But everyone talks about swing speed and how fast they can swing, but if your body can't handle a faster swing, or if you're not swinging correctly, it doesn't really matter. We need to train the body to be able to handle that. So.
Yeah, that's very interesting, and I have just recently, a couple of months ago, written my first training program for a golfer. And in order to do that,
Awesome.
I was doing a little bit more digging into, okay, how can I incorporate more rotational movements? Because truth be told, in my regular training programs, I don't include a ton of rotational movements. And that actually was like super enlightening for me. So I included things on the cable, for instance, but also like with a landmine, sort of a landmine
Yes, land mines are
twist to
great.
the side, and then bringing that up. I'm curious to see how she's going to get on with it, but it was even fun for me as a coach to like expand my knowledge.
Yeah, there's a lot of rotations left to do. Yeah, and I'm still kind of digging into it. I'm like, oh, that's a good one. You kind of see things here and there. A lot of
Yeah,
band work you could
wonderful.
do. Yeah.
Yeah, and you mentioned something I wanted to talk about anyway, and that is, I mean, for most people that's probably obvious, but that you always swing to one side. It's not that, like in basketball, you might once shoot from this side. Yeah, sure, we all have our dominant hand, but
Yes, exactly.
In golf, we generally swing from one side. And I will say that that was unfortunately one of the reasons why I stopped my golfing a couple of years ago, because I have had before my golfing attempt some sciatic nerve issues. And fortunately, twisting to that side re-aggravated the sciatic nerve. And so I'm curious, number one, what are some common or injury-prone areas, perhaps because of that unilateral demand? And then number two, how perhaps with your strength training you counter that?
Yeah, I would say the number one complaint or issue that people have is lower back. Whether it's like fatigue after a long round, or little achiness, like slash like over tightness. And a main reason for that is overcompensation, usually due to lack of mobility, right? We're trying to go somewhere the body can't go, and if our torso stops, our back's gonna kind of take, our lower back is like this, the bendy part of our body. So when something else won't go anymore and we're reaching for a further range of motion, it usually goes right into our lower back. Same things if our hips won't really turn anymore and we're trying to turn, because we know everyone tries to get a little aggressive with their swings. We want a bigger backswing, more power. If the rest of our body just stops, our lower back might keep going. We can overextend, we can bend to the side a little bit too much. So I think mobility is huge in that. And also just make sure there's training the posterior chain, because again, it's so repetitive. We're in that hinging motion when we swing all day. So you're essentially doing like a little mini good morning every day in swinging. But if your back isn't, your whole posterior chain isn't really ready to support that, and the muscles don't have enough endurance, then there's also fatigue on top of that. And nerve stuff can be coming from, that's beyond my scope of knowledge, but that can be coming from a certain muscle that can be too tight, so that can, if that's the case, like definitely recommend like PT or chiro or someone to maybe take a closer look at something like that. That's could be aggravating that, because that could be something tiny that I'm don't know, but what's going on. But from a general perspective, a lot of it is just fatigue. The muscles are, and again, as we age, unfortunately, but we have to work out as we age. A lot of golfers played since they were younger, and then as they're into their like 40s and 50s, they're realizing they don't have the range of motion, the endurance, because they're not keeping up with the strength that's going to just gradually decline if you're not actively trying to keep your muscle mass on.
Yeah, that's such an important point. I think that the whole like fighting sarcopenia as we age, unfortunately, we often think like, oh, I'll be fine or just eating high protein, but it is that combination of resistance training and protein that we
And
do
protein,
that we all need. Going a little bit further with that, I'm curious, would you recommend, and this might be like a silly question, but I truly don't know, but would you recommend, let's say someone is a right swinging person, so when they go then into the gym, would you recommend they do like twice the amount of stuff on the left side to compensate, like, left rotations to compensate for the right, or just generally doing a lot of unilateral things? I don't know.
Yeah, good question. It's definitely recommended to just practice swing lefty. Like if you're warming up and make not necessarily hit a ball lefty, but just swing lefty the other way a few times. But in the gym, always training both the same, left and right. And even if that means a lot of times it's more noticeable with unilateral stuff, like a lunge, maybe your right leg is not as strong as your left leg. And I always say, make sure if the right leg is the weak leg, we just do what the right leg can do. Like we don't want to overtrain the left leg because it's stronger. And a lot of that comes from my yoga background. Like everything has to be nice and even, but we do, right? Because we're naturally imbalanced in our body. We have a stronger side, we have a dominant side, we have a hip that's tighter, we have a shoulder that's tighter. So we want to bring them as close together as we can. So any rotational training, I would always say, is done on the same side or equal on both sides, and just to whatever way your weaker side can do it, that way that weaker side can catch up, and you're not just making that stronger side stronger. And as golfers or baseball players, we're just going to be stronger on that one plane of rotation anyway, it's because it's just what we do a little bit. And sometimes it'll feel really weird to rotate the other way because we're so used to rotating one way. But yeah, I would say I train both sides evenly instead of that.
Yeah, awesome. No, I agree with that. I do think that most training programs are lacking unilateral movements in general. Like often, especially for short time, and I get it. Like if we're short on time, many people think, okay, compound lift. Most of the time, the compound lift, you know, like your squat, your deadlift, etc. And then doing that in a unilateral variation takes longer. So yes, I get it,
100%.
but I do think well, as we all, whether golf or not, have a weaker side and a stronger side. And just for injury prevention, there is so much beauty in doing Bulgarian split squats or lunges. Like as annoying as they are, I mean, I hate
Yeah,
the next
everybody
person,
hates
but
Bulgarians.
they
I
are
would
very.
say next to rotation, the unilateral is probably the second like neglected movement in general in like strength training programs. Yeah, for
Yeah,
sure.
I would agree. And I mean, as far as accessing more range of motion or getting more mobility, I would assume you as a yoga teacher also agree with that. But I think often people just think of flexibility, or you know, like even when they are doing yoga, they're forcing themselves into a certain position without control. And truly, in my opinion, I don't think that you know, just having huge range of motion but not actually control over that's not just not helpful, it is actually quite
Exactly.
dangerous.
Yeah, it's finding that perfect balance between strength and flexibility, which is really the mobility that you're looking for. So yeah, so it's the range of motion, being able to you could control load under range of motion. So exactly. It's yeah, being too bendy is no good either. But being able to have, we want the muscles to be able to support the joints through that range of motion is what is the goal.
So I did not actually even know that you are or were a yoga teacher. I'm very curious what style of yoga you practiced, if you still teach a little bit, and maybe also what certain yoga poses could be helpful for golfers.
So I taught I got my certification through Yoga Works in New York City, and it was a Hatha style, which is or the Hatha Vinyasa style. I did teach hot yoga for a little bit when hot yoga first came around, and now I don't like hot. No offense, it's just too hot for me. It's too hot.
Yet
So
another
yeah, I mean, I
stressor.
taught. What was that?
Yet another stressor for the body. Yeah, if we're trying to bring it down, then no.
It's kind of counterintuitive, but again, if that's your thing, nothing against that. So I did taught a few stuff. Mostly, I taught vinyasa. I have a yin yoga certification. I have restorative yoga certification, which I really enjoyed teaching the yin and the restorative. Just it's seeing helping people like really like try to deeply relax is just. I don't know, just really liked doing that and just kind of bringing them into that environment where like it's almost impossible not to like relax a little bit when the lights are low, everything's slow, you're just really not moving much. So I really enjoy that because I feel like that's a lot of what we myself included need more than like really fast another fast-paced thing thrown at you. So I really enjoy the yin and the restorative. So I taught a bit about almost a little bit about a little bit of everything when I taught. And then when was at the gym, I taught more of a not a and I was teaching yoga to CrossFitters, so it was like a slow flow, I guess you would call it. It was still and then I miss teaching, I really do. I don't teach class anymore, but I incorporate a lot of into my warm-ups and cool downs, yoga movements and stretches. And then I would say anything that focuses on hips is going to be because hips seems to be the big culprit. And I wouldn't even say golfers, I'm going to say most people. So like a low lunge, a pigeon, an ankle to knee, even just like on your back with one knee into your chest. And then any twisting is
Yes, I was
always.
just going to say, I love the seated twists, or even, you know, for people that are less mobile, like laying on your back and doing that like figure four sort of twist.
Yeah, super
Beautiful.
simple.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well,
And
it
like,
seems like you have a very broad spectrum when it comes to yoga, and I will say, like anybody who's listening, I encourage you to try a yin yoga class because, as I mentioned to you, Christy, earlier, most people listening are going to be more the type A people, and if you listening, exercising, and going to the gym is easy, yin yoga is going to be hard. Like honestly, when I took my first yin yoga classes, I was hating it. Like the first 15 minutes, you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm so bored. So yin yoga is more hold a posture, I don't know, 1 to 3 minutes type of thing, sort of thing, maybe sometimes even longer. And like learning to relax into a pose is so hard, but like switching off your mind, it, but it comes. You just need to give yourself the time. And the great thing about attending
Exactly.
classes, you can't get out
Yeah.
of it. I mean, you can.
Yeah,
You probably
you can,
won't.
but
So,
yeah,
right, you're
exactly.
gonna sit through that and you're gonna feel better afterwards. So I always try to encourage people to do what is hard for them. And as I know the listeners, or if I think the listeners might be a little bit like me, do that thing because exercising
Yeah.
is probably not that difficult for you.
It's true. It's hard for us to relax. And I remember during COVID, I did a bunch of like little just on Instagram Live little meditations during COVID because we had so much time. But again, I enjoy that because it's hard to just sit and relax and you use the word meditate, and by no means am I an expert at meditating. I need to do that more too. But people are like, oh, I can't do it. I'm like, well, no, like almost nobody can. You have to just try.
That's the
The act of trying is actually meditating, so it's
Yes,
no, you're
that
not
is
going
the
to
practice.
just find Zen, but you're going to sit there and just see what's going on and learn about, okay, my brain is going nuts right now. Like, let me see, so it's just learning about your thoughts and learning about how to try to relax is a step towards all that,
Exactly. I love it. Absolutely. So with that a three-folded approach, let's say, or since you are a strength coach, golf coach and player as well, and you used to or are still doing yoga, let me give you a sample scenario. If someone wants to do exactly those three things, wants to mostly for longevity, for fun, for health reasons, and all of that, how would you program slash lay out their week or even just like a training day, maybe or both?
Yeah, so another biggest thing for golf fitness is volume and intensity, right? So as a golfer, you don't want to come off a leg day and be like, your quads are locking up. So it's really about like how much we're doing of what and how intense are those workouts. So the workouts are not really, on the high intensity side. They're, I would say, like, lower to medium, and just monitoring volume. So I usually program 3 times a week strength workouts for my golfers. Sometimes like maybe a conditioning day, but most of them are playing a lot or walking a lot. So the strength is really what's important, and what's included in that is mobility as well. And still having like a primary strength focus. So let's say Monday we'll still focus on legs, but we won't do a ton of volume. And then in the rest of the workout, I make sure I hit the rest of the body. So while each day has like, let's say Monday is a leg focus, primary strength, Wednesday shoulder. In the rest of the second part of that day, we'll still hit the rest of the body. So it's still a full body workout with like a little more focus on one part, but not enough to leave you like limping the next day or you're not able to lift your arm. So the goal is the minimal effective dose so that we're not super sore as golfers because we don't want to go to the course being really, really tight for that. So it's really kind of just, again, moderating intensity and load and making sure, every day is somewhat full body with still a strength focus.
Okay, so basically, if someone wanted to play golf twice a week and do strength training 3 times a week, and they could either incorporate a little bit of yoga slash stretching into the strength workouts or do a whole separate yoga class on a recovery day or something like
Yeah, I
that.
mean, yoga would be great. Yeah, the workouts I program do have like a 5 6 minute cool down, and then with my golfers do I also do a separate mobility plan for them. So I do a screening where that shows me how their hips are moving, how their arms are moving, like very detailed. So I could see like where their problem areas are, I guess you can call them. So okay, I know your shoulders are really tight, so this is going to be a little more shoulder focused on this and your mobility. So they all have like a separate mobility program that's custom mobility from like a physical screening that I do for them. So that's always, yeah, mobility is always there, but that's the hardest thing to get people to do is
Yes.
mobility. It's
Again,
just,
seems so boring, seems so minor. Just like
I
focusing on the sleep is
know.
boring and the hydration is boring, but it is.
I know. I know.
So I
Yeah,
guess.
the mobility is tough. And I say, even sometimes I come in tired to a session. I'm like, we can just stretch. They're like, no. I'm like, oh, I'm like, all right. I'm like, yeah, they just some are good, but some are just so bad. And you could tell. I'm like, if he just the guy just stretched like twice a week, it would help him so much. And they just won't do it.
Yes. Well,
Won't do
I
it.
mean, talking about other levers that we can pull, and I know you're more a fitness trainer, but nonetheless, I have no doubts that you probably give your athletes also tips for nutrition or for yourself, like if you have a golf game or tournament. I'm curious, since it's not necessarily like a glycolytic sport like CrossFit or whatever, where we're like literally relying on like what's the nutrient timing and carbohydrate needs at this point and so on. But nonetheless, do you have any tips for like what to take on the golf course? Should we change anything the day leading up or in the morning? Or like I literally have no idea. What do you normally recommend?
I would say normally, for day leading up or the morning would be, something that's, I guess, what they normally eat, minus having like a huge big breakfast because no one's going to be comfortable after that. But differing from the sports you were talking about, it's the more of the duration of golf that's there, right? Across the workouts, could be like 10 minutes or maybe an hour at most if you're going to a gym. But a round of golf can be 4 or 5 hours. So, you're out there, and if you're walking, it's so it's very it's taxing from that end in like a more marathon type time domain. So making sure, like, if you like protein bars are great, like if you can find a good protein bar you like, a banana, some fruit. Usually, like, the that after 9 holes, there's usually something available that for you to purchase at golf courses. Staying hydrated. I know, everyone likes to, not everyone, but a lot of people like to drink all day in the course. But try to, if you're doing that, try to, drink as much water as you're having a beer. But yeah, just making sure you're staying hydrated and making sure you are getting some calories, because it is potentially 4 to 5 hours. And then again, if there's the riding in a cart and walking are two different, totally things. So if you're walking, you really need to make sure those, calories are sustained throughout that. Like, I wouldn't say you need like a goo pack or anything like you were saying, but a protein bar, a banana, a shake, making sure you have some carbs in there. And I always recommend some sort of carb and protein before. So.
Yeah, I think those are some great tips, and I do think we underestimate how much fuel our brains also need. And I do think, like, obviously, golf being a cognitively demanding sport, I do think that's something to pay attention to. And I mean, unless somebody is like keto adapted or whatever, I don't think having some high quality carbs during that time, maybe not, your muffin or cinnamon roll throughout, so that you get that sugar crash and then you can't focus, you have that brain fog. Like augmenting that with coffee, and then you have the coffee crash. So I would say, like, hold off with that stuff until you're done. Alcohol, it probably would be better to hold off with that stuff until you're done if you want to play a good round of golf, not just like have not just fun. Well, wonderful. Thank you so much, Christy, for your time. Is there any other tips that you have for the listeners, or if anybody wants to start golfing, how can they get started, in your opinion?
I mean, I would just go to a driving range. There's a lot of, I know around me, I'm in New Jersey, there's a ton of indoor simulators that are opening up now. So that's an indoor bay. You hit into a screen, there's a computer that tells you all your stats. Or to take a lesson, but it's really a great game. Like I said, it's a lifelong game. You can meet so many great people, travel so many places, and see so many things. And don't be afraid to start. It's never too late to start, just like working out. It's never, you're never too old. It's never too late. You can always just start on that. But yeah, it's a great game. And if you're working out, you'll really be in good shape to start playing it. And if you're not working out in general, don't be afraid to try that either, because that's going to be like, working out, lifting weights, and protein, like you said, are your, that's longevity right there. That's just a, it's the gold mine. That's what we need. So we want to keep moving as long as we can and stay independent. And that's the goal.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to make sure
You're
to drop
welcome.
all your handles in the show notes so people can
Perfect.
check out your content and learn from you and contact you if they want
Thank
to work with
you.
you remotely. And yeah, I just appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Christy. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow. And remember, if you want help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we'd love to guide you. One more thing before you go, if you're looking for premium supplements, our partner Fat Muscle Project has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more, and feel free to use our code NCL for your chance to win a $250 gift card every month. Thank you for listening.